for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2019 Summer Family Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Thursday evening, July the 4th, 2019. Randy Ritchie is the speaker of this service teaching on idolatry.
I'll do a little housekeeping before we start. For those who haven't been here, a reminder of those who have, on that sheet that our sister talked about, there's a big people sheet, a little people sheet. There's some things that are, we just really ask that you keep all food and drinks out of your room except for bottled water. This is a country place, and they have country critters. Okay? Now, we like to run, and the Bible says that we have dominion. Actually, the Lord gave us dominion. He gave us dominion over the fish in the sea, the fowls in the air, the beast in the field, the cattle, and everything that creeps upon the earth. So I'm glad we got dominion over creeps. Okay? But we don't want creeps like roaches and bugs and things that come in and eat. So just please honor that, if you will. Also, because this camp, every morning at 6 o'clock, we have prayer. We'll have prayer at 6 o'clock tomorrow morning, 6 o'clock Saturday morning, 6 o'clock Sunday morning. And that's where individuals can come up and sit with the prayer team and bring some individual things that they feel that they want Jesus to help them with. And so that's an early morning. And do you know that you came to a battleground?
Oh, yeah.
How many people had a battle getting here? All right. Yeah, okay. Well, listen, it's a battleground, and you need to know, listen, there's a misconception that the enemy can't harm Christians. If you don't know that, that is a lie. It is an outright lie. And a lot of people that say that, maybe they don't understand they're lying, but it's a lie. The enemy has power. Now, we've got a greater power, but I promise you, he swings the sword. Thank the Lord we have a bigger sword. Amen? But he swings the sword. So we came here to do battle. The enemy of your soul would try to keep you out of here. The enemy of your soul would try to drive you out of here. I've sat in those chairs myself. And listen, if I was to eat a bunch of spaghetti and stuff, you're going to hear me snoring here, all right? So I don't do that. That's me. But I've sat back there and eaten right, and just been overwhelmed with sleepiness because the enemy is trying to put me to sleep. So if you came here, I just want to encourage you, get in the fight. Stay in the fight. If you find yourself sleepy, stand up. Nobody's going to come knock you on the head for falling asleep like they did in the old days or something. But stand up. Shake it off. Because you might miss the very thing that might change your life with the enemy putting you to sleep. We're in a war. Also, because we start early and there's a battle going on, some of you are about to find out for the first time what it really means when Paul says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but the powers and principalities and rulers of darkness, evil spirits in high places. Right? You're going to find out it's a real wrestling match. Sometimes people are going to, their physical body is tired after these things. Okay? Well, because of that, we do ask that it really says lights out at 10 o'clock and nobody's going to monitor your room, but be quiet in your rooms, if you would, and if you go into the hallways and be cognizant and aware that somebody else might be trying to sleep, get the rest. I'm going to tell you, every person that steps up here will be bringing a message from the Lord that it might be the one you need. Listen, it's all about Jesus. It's not about me. It's not about that. It's not about any of us. But you never know which one might be a key for you to really take you to the next level in your walk with the Lord. How many know if the Lord says we're going from glory to glory, that means something has to change? Can I present to you that that's something that has to change is some part of the world and the way we think and the demons and the strongholds. If I'm going from glory to glory, that means something that doesn't agree with God gets changed. So I just ask you to do that. Also, within a body like this will be many gifts and talents of the Lord. I'm not saying anybody here is more anointed than anybody else, but the house has an order. So we just ask you to follow that order. What you do outside of here and outside of this camp, that's up to y'all. But just don't go giving personal words and all those things, okay? Save that. If it's a real word from God, write it down. If that person is willing, then you can contact them afterwards. But because you have to know those that labor among you, according to the Word of God. And we don't know everybody. We don't know. And so to come into order, we just come into order. When I come here, I'm under order, under Merrill's authority, under the authority of those in authority here. We don't just run as wild cards. And so we just ask you to honor that. And I'm going to say this. Some of you are going to feel things and you're going to, look, we're going to go into the past. Okay? We'll have to go back into your past in order to get you healed and delivered right here in the now. Now, you already said you can't live in the past. You can't live in the past. If you're living in the past, we really need to go back and find out why. That's part of our problems. We're repeating what happened. But you've got to go to your past in order to expose where the enemy hurt you, where the enemy wounded you, where the enemy offended you, where something happened to you. Well, no matter what that is, you've got to be willing to let God take you back there. And what you're doing is bringing Jesus up front into the situation where you got hurt and where you got wounded. Because oftentimes that stuff's just buried and it's hidden. So you got to be willing to go back to confess sin that's your own and even your ancestors, and to repent for your own behavior. Listen, tonight I'm going to teach on idolatry, and I'll go into some depths on idolatry, and we'll do deliverance on idolatry as well as some other. Because listen, we're going to go into this weekend as many demons as Jesus wants to get out tonight, we'll get out tonight. He'll determine that. You know, sometimes I'll pray to the Lord. I have the people pray, Lord, every spirit you want out tonight, I agree it has to come out. Okay? Because I don't know how much you can take. I don't know. You think, well, boy, we want to get them all out. Well, you don't know that you can handle it. Jesus knows. Everybody who will repeat with me, Lord. Every spirit you want out of me, tonight, I agree. They're going to go. In Jesus' name. Amen. So you've got to go back and you've got to forgive. And you've got to repent for your own sin. We break things. We cast demons out. We ask God to heal. And you know what? He does it. And bit by bit, our lives get better and better. Our trials don't go away. Listen, we're in a fight to the last. This battle here is going on. I don't know. You been watching any of the news? Well, maybe if you haven't. Listen, I don't watch the alphabet news, okay? I just don't. But I'm just going to tell you that even in this last week, and of course the Word of God tells us wars and rumors of wars, and that'll go on until the end of the day, until the Battle of Armageddon. That's all that mess is happening, okay? But there was an incident that possibly could have been a U.S. sub and a Russian sub, and both of them got damaged and 14 Russians died. And you've got men on both sides of this equation could have pushed the button. I've spent the last few days watching YouTubes. And those YouTubes were guys that were traveling through places like Iran and through places like Russia and places like Venezuela. And you know what you find out when you watch those? Those people are just human beings. City folk, country folk. There ain't a bunch of Russians over there hating us. There ain't a bunch of Iranians over there hating us. It's small groups of people that are very dangerous. Our goal should be to get as free as we can be so that we can be light and salt in this world. That when people look at us, they would see the Lord in us. Because time is short. And at any time, we can have just a disaster beyond anything that's ever happened on the face of the earth. At any time. So we don't walk in fear, but we need to be aware of the times. So the sun sets free is free indeed. Allow the Lord to come in. If you find yourself sitting in one of them chairs, even in good English, those chairs, if you find yourself sitting there and you're wanting to get up and run, don't get up and run. Stay. Let the Lord deal with it. He's a good God. He's not out to harm us. He's out to fix us. And the enemy is a liar, and he's been lying to you your whole life about something. Everybody repeat with me if you would. Say, Lord. Jesus.
Jesus.
Father.
Father.
Yahweh.
Yahweh.
I'm asking you to show me.
I'm asking you to show me.
The lies.
The lies.
I've been believing.
I've been believing.
And help me.
And help me.
To deploy your weapons.
To deploy your weapons.
To tear down the strongholds.
To tear down the strongholds.
The lies of the enemy.
The lies of the enemy.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I thank you for it, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
In advance.
In advance.
Say, Lord.
Lord.
I repent.
I repent.
For all of my sins.
All of my sins.
I confess the sins of my ancestors.
I confess the sins of my ancestors.
I confess idolatry.
I confess idolatry.
Immorality.
Immorality.
Murder.
Murder.
Sexual sin.
Sexual sin.
Shedding of innocent blood.
Shedding of
broken covenants.
Broken covenants.
Lord.
Lord.
I confess.
I confess.
Pride.
Pride.
Fear.
Fear.
Anger.
Anger.
Hatred.
Hatred.
Lord.
Lord.
I repent.
I repent.
I confess.
I confess.
Greed.
Greed.
Selfishness.
Selfishness.
I confess.
I confess.
All sin.
All sin.
And I receive.
And I receive.
Your blood.
Your blood.
As enough for me.
Enough for me.
You pay for it, Jesus.
You pay for it,
Jesus. Lord, I take all shame.
Lord, I take all shame.
And put it on your cross. Where it belongs.
Where it belongs.
I take all guilt.
I take all guilt.
Put it on the cross.
Put it on the cross.
You pay for it, Lord.
You pay for it.
So I can be free.
So I can be free.
I do it now.
Yeah.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, I want to tell you something. When you get born again, the Bible says you're justified. And some would say just as if you've never done it. That means you're justified by the Lord because of what He's done. So you come into agreement. Amos 3:3 says, how can two walk together unless they be agreed? Okay? So you come into agreement with God that you're a mess, He's great, you're a sinner, He's perfect, He paid the price, and He's God. You come into the agreement that He was crucified, dead, buried, rose again. You come into agreement with God. If you come into agreement, no matter how you prayed a prayer, whatever you said to Him, if He came in, you became born again. And you are a new creature in Christ Jesus. And from that point, you were set apart, sanctified unto the Lord for His purposes. Now you walk out a life of sanctification, and that's that glory to glory thing. You get changed bit by bit, bit by bit. And we want to be being changed into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, the Lord's goal for all of us is that we be made into the image of Jesus. His goal isn't that we would be an apostle, prophet, evangelist, teacher, pastor, or whatever title. That comes out of sonship. That comes out of being a daughter. Sons and daughters, children of the living God. He wants relationship. And if we're in relationship, you become who you hang around with. If you hang around with God and God-like people, you'll become more God-like, more like Jesus. Conversely, if you hang around with people who act like the devil, you're going to become more like that. But God's goal is to change us from glory to glory. So we're sanctified, set apart. We're walking out this sanctification until a final glorious day when we're going to be fully sanctified with new bodies and a new mind. We're going to rise from the grave or be changed in the twinkle of an eye, whatever time period that is. How many know that's a glorious hope? Say, Lord, thank you.
Lord,
you love me just like I am. But you love me too much to leave me this way. That we're going somewhere. And I have a glorious hope in you. And it's all about you, Jesus. Let me pray and we'll start. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this body of believers. I thank you for these born again saints. Sons and daughters of the living God, set apart for your plans and your purpose, Lord. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus. If anybody here that doesn't know you, you'll make it aware to them. You'll make them aware that they're not born again. I bind the strong man assigned against us, against the ministry, against me and my bloodline, against every bloodline here in the name of Jesus. I bind in the name of Jesus. Father, I'm asking you to send warriors into the heavenlies above this place, around this place, even over this city, in the name of Jesus. Cutting back any principality or dominion or power that would be assigned or arrayed against us, in the name of Jesus. Any fallen angels be cut off, in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father. I bind mind-blinding spirits. I bind deaf-dumb spirits. I bind spirits of fear. I bind spirits of anger. I bind religious spirits in the name of Jesus. Those that would bring a form of godliness but deny the power therein in the name of Jesus. I bind anger. I bind hatred. I bind murder. I bind unholy judgment and unforgiveness in the name of Jesus. And Father, I bind every lying spirit, deceptive spirit in the name of Jesus. I do break the power you've given us authority over that, Lord. Whatever we bind on earth, bound in heaven. So I bind witchcraft and sorcery and divination and vain imaginations and visualization sin against us in the name of Jesus. I bind every fetish work in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. You're a glorious God. You're full of love and grace and mercy and power. And Lord, Holy Spirit, come and help us have your way tonight and all through this weekend and beyond in every life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we're going to talk about idolatry. Idolatry. It can be the worship of a physical object as a god. It can also be an immoderate attachment or a devotion to something. Definition of idolize. It's to worship as a god broadly, to love or admire to excess. Idolatrous means relating to idolatry, having the character of idolatry. Given to idolatry. Here's what Yahweh says in his word. Exodus 20:3-4. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. James 4:4. You people are not faithful to God. You should know that loving what the world has is the same as hating God. Now we need to really get that. The other version, it says that to love the world is to be at enmity with God. It means at war with God. So anyone who wants to be friends with this evil world becomes God's enemy. Do you think the scriptures mean nothing? The scriptures say the spirit God made to live in us wants us only for himself. Do you know that God is a jealous God?
Yes, sir.
He's a loving God. When I was in Nepal, there was a man, and I sat with him, and we grew to love him, but he was a Hindu, and I sat with him in the camp that he was the manager of, and as we were sitting and drinking coffee one morning, and he took me upstairs and showed me his gods on the way, and he said, well, do we do this one for this, and this one for that, and this one for this, and this one for that, and we sat down, and we talking, and he said, this Jesus, he said, if I receive him, I lose everything. And I said, if you don't receive him, you lose everything. But then I told him, he said, well, I don't understand why I just can't have him and add him to my God list. And I said, brother, you married? Yes, I am. I said, how many husbands you want your wife to have? And he went, oh, Lord, reaching. Hope he's saved, Lord. Save him today. I lift that man up in Jesus' name. I bind the enemy of his soul. Deuteronomy 29:18. Make sure there is no man or woman, clan or tribe among you today whose heart turns away from the Lord our God to go and worship the gods of those nations. Make sure there's no root among you that produces such bitter poison. Every culture has its gods. And we'll find out a little bit when we're doing deliverance. I start calling some of these out. You're going to find out that they're more than likely there. And it won't be the fallen angel that they were worshiping, because that's what these gods are. And you got Genesis 6 says the sons of God took the daughters of men for wives, and there were giants in the land. There were titans. There were fallen angels here on the earth. Those fallen angels were who these sons of God were, and they mixed with human beings, and they created civilizations pre-flood that all the evidence is here before us. That's another teaching for another day. But these beings were worshipped. So their offspring were worshipped. They were worshipped. So you came through Babel, and when Babel spread out in the languages, God scrambled the languages, you got characters that are the same characters all over the world worshipped by various names. So if you look at the Greek gods, and you had Zeus as one of their chief gods, and then you had Hercules by a human woman. Well, in the Nordic god pantheon, which is the multiplicity of their gods, you had Odin as their chief god and Thor. How many know that there's a group called the Avengers out there? This is exactly what it's talking about. It's about gods, not our big God who made everything, but these mighty ones. As a matter of fact, in the literal Hebrew translation, you should have no other gods before me. It's mighty ones, because they're mightier than humans, and they were worshipped as gods. And there's nothing new under the sun. So, Nordic gods, Odin, Thor, Frigg. By the way, our names of our days won't be the same in the millennium, because Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday are all going to go away, and we'll have new names. But we ain't going to worship the sun, we ain't going to worship Saturn, and we ain't going to have a 4-day, which is Thursday, and the Friday, which is Frigga. All those names are named after gods, or things that were worshipped. That'll all go away. Now, if we're going to communicate with anybody today, we have to use those names. But I promise you, when Jesus comes, all those things will be done away with. There are Celtic gods, Irish gods. There are Hindu gods, Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva, Trinities, Nimrod, Semiramis, Tammuz out of Babel, Osiris, Isis, Horus, Egypt. Sun gods, moon gods, Jehovah's Witness, some very sincere people. Very sincere. They're not trying to live evil. Many of them living better than Christians in their behavior sometimes. But here's the deal. Look, I hear people say, why don't we pray like the Muslims? And why don't we do the service like the Mormons, and you know, and the missionaries too? And then why aren't we like the Jehovah's Witnesses that go out and knock the doors and all that? Well, you know, those people are doing things that Christians ought to be doing at times. But I can tell you, one of the reasons they do it is because the devil is behind them, not in front of them. I want you to hear that. He's behind them, pushing them, compelling them, not in front of them, resisting like he does us. Everybody say, amen. Devil, amen. I bind you. In Jesus' name. So the Jehovah's Witness believe that Jesus is the Archangel Michael. Okay? Mormons believe Jesus is the brother of Lucifer. So their languages sound alike. They can sit and talk to Christians, and some Christians get drawn into this, but, you know, listen, if you're born again and you really understand your word, the Spirit of God's going to stop you. But there's lots of, how many know there's lots of people in church that aren't born again? Do you know that? A lot of people are not really born again. I find it hard to believe anybody that believes that abortion's okay is born again. Sorry. If the Holy One of Israel's living inside of you. I mean, politically, we got a mess. I don't care where you, it's awful. I mean, we got problems, okay? And there are things wrong no matter what. There always will be with every government until Jesus comes. But you cannot. Abortion is horrible. It's murder. If you think gay marriage is okay, I don't think you're close to God. I'm sorry. That's not fruit of the Lord. If you think that heterosexual sex outside of marriage is okay, you're wrong. That's not close to the Lord. Your only plumb line as a Christian is this. You know, we love people. That's what we're here for. We're here to fight the enemy, to break down the strongholds, to break down the lie. If you came and you're going to hide anything, you might as well not have come. Hear me. Because we can sit and have you repent and confess all sorts of sin and cast out all sorts of demons, but if you keep that one lie because you don't want somebody to know, you're setting yourself up for a reinfestation. You got to be honest. So they come and they speak a language that sounds just like they're talking like any Christian would talk. So they would talk about Jesus. If the Mormons believe that Jesus is the brother to Lucifer, then that makes their Jesus a created being and not God who was and is to come. Created being. Not the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and then the Word became flesh and walked among us. That's a totally different being. So you got another Jesus. The Mormon Father, who they call Heavenly Father, was a man who through holy living became a God. So that would mean that this God evolved from this to this. Our God was and is to come and is the Ancient of Days. He never wasn't, and He always will be. So even though the language is the same, and even the Holy Spirit, their Holy Spirit is not the third person of the Godhead. Their Holy Spirit is just a force. And by the way, they believe that God the Father had physical relations with Mary in order to bring forth a child. 1 John 4:3, every spirit that confess not that Jesus Christ come in the flesh is not of God. This is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in the world. Islam denies God has a son. Catholic Church, I can tell you this. There's some born-again Catholics that are in error. Okay? But I believe there's some born-again Catholics. But the church is really messed up. And those that are still in that church are full of demons. And pretty soon there's going to be a great, 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 greater, even greater deception come forth out of that group. And very soon, and the Pope there is already saying these things, but he's saying there's other roads to God besides Jesus. So when you take Jesus down as the only way, and you take him out of that frame, then instantly you're going to have a whole bunch of people. Even the Muslims will find a way to all be joined into one group that is pointed towards God, who is not our God. There's worship of saints, worship of Mary, worship of the Pope. I've never seen a room, if I taught on Catholicism and I went through the prayers to strip Catholicism, this whole room would get deliverance. We'll deal with some of that tonight, but every time. Everywhere. The first time there used to have I don't think it's in print anymore, but Gene Moody has a red book. Some of you may have that book, and it's got Catholic spirits in there. And there's been time that the Lord would tell me to use that as a tool, and I would pick that book up and sit somebody down in personal prayer and start calling out those demons, and they just come out. And even people that had no idea they had Catholicism in their bloodline were getting delivered. Because Catholicism, like Freemasonry, is up the tree. Somewhere. Somewhere. How about football? I'm not saying football's a problem. But if your heart is for football more than it is for God, it's a problem. If you can't be nice to your family because there's a football game on, you got a problem. You've made it an idol. Same for baseball, basketball, golf. No time for God because of golf. Listen, I like football. And I used to have a great passion for it. But something happened back in 1999-2000. And it was Jesus. I still could enjoy a football game, but I'm not mad if my team loses. What? I don't have time for that. And what I've learned to do is bind all the witchcraft that's working on both sides. All that hoo-hoo stuff they're doing. Huh? Listen, you got whole sides of both stands working witchcraft, jinxing people, doing all that bad. Not to mention there's probably some real stuff going on. Well, that's real too, but there's fetishes, things being worked to try to change and alter those games. So I'm going to go bind it up and then say, God, and I have to crucify my flesh because I do like the team I like. I do. So I have to stop. Say, oh, you know what, Lord? Whoever gives you the glory, let them. Whoever's going to say Jesus Christ is my Lord. Whoever's going to say this couldn't have happened unless the Lord was helping. That's who I'm for. Could be deer hunting, fishing. I like to fish. I have to watch myself. I came back from Nepal. They're poor there. Ain't people don't have a clue until they leave this country what it can be like. And Nepal is a Hindu nation, and I can't even describe the traveling to you. I mean, the cars. And with I can describe it, but you don't have a concept till you sit in something and you're driving up hills with 1,500 foot drops and 2,000 foot drops into the canyons, and you're going uphill, and there's cars, and there's trucks, and there's tractors, and there's horse carts, and there's motorcycles, and there's bicycles, and everybody who can is passing everybody else, whether it's uphill, downhill, it doesn't matter. 10 deaths a day on this highway, at least. And when you come to an intersection, it's just honk, honk, and they do it. But you don't have a clue of the disorder that happens when you get away from God and His Word. But when I came back from that and we felt, and listen, people are worth everything. Listen, human beings, you may have somebody you don't like. It's not been kind to you. But I'm going to tell you, Jesus loves those people. Pray for them. If they've hurt you, they're hurting. It's worth it. People are valuable. If you Amos 3:3, if you're going to agree with God, the first thing you're going to have to, one of the first things, you love Him with all your heart, mind, and strength. You love your neighbors. You love yourself. Some of your neighbors aren't so lovely, but you need to ask God, help me to love them and to pray for those and to pray for those that despitefully use me and to bless my enemy, because then you become like Jesus. They're valuable. You might be the one person, the one that really is under your skin. You might be the one person that could cause them to turn and end up in heaven. But when I got back from that, and the poverty and all the stuff that I saw there, it was amazing. It was just amazing. I'm out there fly fishing one day. Fly fishing, which in the course of life probably means nothing. But then I'm asking the Lord. I'm starting to feel a little guilty about it. should I be doing this, Lord? I mean, and I'm thinking of what I just saw and what I just came from. And the Lord spoke very clearly to me, and he says, I want you to live the life I put before you. And instantly I knew, because I'll talk to people about Jesus on that river, and I'll pray for everything I see, and at the Walmart on the way, or in the restaurant. That is the life that I live, that he gave me. So I knew I was to do that. Now, if all I did was fish, and then, listen, sometimes when that, I want to fish over there and somebody says, ain't that home, I'm thinking I'm going to race to them. I have to stop. I make myself stop. And I say, Lord, just let me bless, show me where to go. How many know we're always in a battle? Say, Lord, thank you.
Thank you.
That I'm victorious
for you.
Now, if you don't know it, your number one enemy is your own flesh. Thus, we're born with all the mess. Anything you can do wrong, you're born able to do it. Anything and everything God calls sin. Number one enemy is the flesh. And you can't cast the flesh out. It has to be killed. Crucified. Means you got to make choices to do something different. Number two enemy is Satan and demons. Satan and demons. The third enemy is the world system that is operated by Satan and the demons. So your government of the world, the governments, the economic system, the education system, the entertainment systems, the currency, I said economic systems. Your systems of the medical field as well too. Much of it. Operated by the enemy. I'm not saying doctors and nurses are evil. I'm just telling you the system is not full of faith. It's full of man's ways.
Yes, sir.
Which the enemy then empowers. We empower the enemy, then he gets in the middle of what we do. Three enemies. We'll cast demons out here. It's going to happen. If you're willing. It'll happen. You got born again. You come into covenant with God. You have the benefit and the privilege of being free indeed. And working your way through that. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. The synonymous word salvation is deliverance. Work out your deliverance with fear and trembling. We walk through respecting God, accepting that he loves us and that he's for us and not against us, and we walk this thing out. But I want you to hear something. Just telling the demons to leave and watching the Lord make them leave is the easiest thing we're going to do. That's not hard. Jesus is big. He's powerful. There's no name like his name. But then you're going to have to make a choice and do something different with your body than you've been doing, including your mouth. Okay? Perhaps, I'm not going to teach on that tonight, but I will say this, is that life and death's in the power of the tongue, Proverbs 18:21, and if your mouth doesn't line up with God, it's not going to get better. Things are not going to change for you. You're going to say what God says over your life. You're going to agree with him. And if something doesn't look like God says, you're going to thank his word to him. And you're going to start saying, Lord, why isn't this working for me? What's going on? Show me. He's faithful. He'll help you. But if your mouth is spewing out negative things like I'm an idiot or anything like that, or this will never change, or I can't change, or this is inherited, it doesn't change. If that's what you're saying, it's not going to change. And it'll get worse, more than likely. So the mouth has to change. But then you're going to have to make some choices. If you got a temper problem, you know, the Bible says, be angry and sin not. That is a given then, that sometimes you're going to get angry. What do you do with it? Do you stay offended? Do you let the sun go down on your wrath and give a place to the devil? Or do you forgive people immediately? I always tell people, every time I minister, be quick to repent, quick to forgive. So immediately, as soon as you know you've sinned, repent. Father, I'm sorry. Lord, forgive me. Immediately. unless you just want to carry junk on you and let the devil have his way. If you really get the picture, I want to disarm the enemy immediately. He goes before the throne of God night and day, accusing the brethren, that's us. I don't want him to have anything. John 10:10, the thief cometh but to steal, kill, and destroy. And Jesus said, come to give us a life and a life more abundant. Why do we want to help the thief? That would be my question. That's my question for me. I don't want to help him. So quick to repent and then quick to forgive. The moment you're offended, start forgiving. And some of us need to apply that to self. You're offended at yourself, repent, and then hey, listen, I forgive me. Maybe it's, hey, some of us are stuck on that. Can't let ourselves go. Always holding ourselves to too high. Turn around and say, I forgive you. Look in the mirror and say, I forgive you. Do something different. But if you had a donut problem, listen to me. You're going to have to walk away from the donuts and not eat them. You're going to stay free. If you've got a temper problem and you can feel that thing rising inside of you and you know you're about to vomit something out of your mouth, turn around and start blessing the person you're mad at. If you had a computer problem, you got a pornography problem, don't open it in the hotel room. Go to the McDonald's or the lobby. You've got to do something. We're spirit, soul, and body. Freedom only comes when we're walking it all out. You just cast the demons out, it's going to fix everything. You're going to have to crucify that flesh. You're going to have to do something different with the body that's different from everything else you've been doing. Because the truth is, if everything we was doing was working, we wouldn't be here. Right? All right. Praise the Lord. So maybe, oh boy, it could be Facebook. Yeah. Could be. Might have to see how many people are liking what I put down on there. Or if they don't like it, I'm wondering what's wrong with those people. I'm going to tell you something. If you're vexed over something, that means, man, that's in your gut, it's in your mind, it's doing all this, this, and this, and you're vexed. Something is up, and it ain't Jesus. It's the enemy working on you, trying to figure it out, trying to figure it out, trying to figure it out. You got to let things go. You got to give things to God. You repent and you do your part. You pray for those. You make peace where you can. Bible says, if it possible, be at peace with all men. For without holiness, no man shall see God. That means impossible. But some people ain't going to be at peace with you. You just give them to God. And then when you talk to your neighbor, don't go, no, if you want to be free. So, everybody say, Lord.
Lord.
I don't want these idols. It applies to me. I don't want it. Could be a preacher. Could be a teacher. Let me tell you something. There's anointing and there's giftings. We appreciate those things in God's people. But if you're looking to them, you're looking at the wrong place. It better be about Jesus. Right? It better be about Jesus. Sometimes people get to... That doesn't mean we don't respect. It doesn't mean we don't honor. We do what we're supposed to. But sometimes people get so deep with a person that when he goes off to error, they're going in too. And if you're in a place where he goes, well, ain't nothing like this happening anywhere. Our church is the only one. If God's doing something, he's doing it in different places all over the earth. You don't want to get caught in that trap. Could be your family. Could be your children. Could be your husband. Could be your wife. If your children are causing you to sin, you made them an idol. You made them an idol. God's given us the way to raise children. Husband or wife, listen, we need to submit one to another. It's what we're supposed to do. The husband's supposed to love his wife like Jesus loves the church. So the wife's supposed to reverence her husband like Sarah did Abraham. God gave us parameters. Anything outside of that sin, one way or another. So, you know, if If you've got a marriage issue, first of all, look at you. Look at you. Give it, go to God. Are you walking in love? Are you praying for that mate? Are you complaining about it? There may be a legitimate problem you need to talk to somebody about. But if all you're doing is complaining about them, you're not helping anything. But we want to get rid of, that doesn't mean we get rid of our families, but we've got to put things in order, in godly order. If your children have become the ones that rule your household, you made them an idol. We have people call us, they say, well, these kids want to do this, this, this. I said, well, when did they get a vote? You listen to opinion, but that's fine. You make people are important. Kids need to know they're important, but they don't get a vote. They shouldn't. Not if you've got a family under godly authority. How many of you know your children will want to do things that aren't good for them? How many know that we can do things that aren't good for us? And even though as we're adult, God lets you do it, all right? But it don't mean it helps you. And there's always a consequence. And by the way, I told you, you got to crucify your flesh. Children have to have their flesh crucified by their parents. Because they won't crucify their flesh. That's what a godly spanking is. And that's what time out is. And that's what order is all about. But if your children are ruling your household, you've made them idols. And you set them up for great failure. Enemy's slick. He'll cause people to do the very thing that'll destroy their own children. And sometimes people won't discipline their children because they're operating in the guilt of how they lived before. How you lived before. Didn't do it right before, so it's guilt. But here's the deal. Once you come to know what the Lord says to do and how you're supposed to do it, it's as simple as this. You just say, well, I know this now. I'm sorry that we didn't do it the right way before. Would you please forgive me? But now we're moving forward in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. I got a picture of Ben Franklin on a $100 bill right here. How many know money can be a problem? The Bible didn't say money is the root of all evil. It said the love of money is the root of all evil. Golf, tennis, football, baseball, basketball, television, hunting, fishing, shopping, husband, wife, children, pastor, friends, mother, father. Your own talents and gifts. How about how you look? Music, ministry, even God's giftings. Made more important than God. You know, we've got things that are ministries throughout our nation. Spirit-filled ministries. I'm sure there's some wolf in sheep's clothing, some of them, but many of them are sincere people. In which the feelings and the giftings and the supernatural things became sought out more than just relationship with God. And now there's error running rampant and other spirits. And people having Holy Ghost tarot cards. That's what they call them. Give you a prophetic word off these cards. Or holy yoga. Or holy tattoos. Listen. We repent for those and move on. We don't condemn anybody for anything. But that's not godly. And that's not of God. And that's not the Holy Spirit. But it came. Listen to me. I want you to hear this. It is a wonderful thing when you feel the tangible presence of God. Man. Praise you, Jesus. But you can't live on that. You can't. Sister got up and talked about His Word. You have to, if you live on that, you'll end up living on your emotions. And if you're living on your emotions, you'll go up and down and up and down and up and down. Your own emotions and how you feel become your own idol. So if your emotions are contrary to God's Word, what it says, then you made your emotions and how you feel an idol. It is a wonderful thing to feel the tangible presence of the Lord, but some of your greatest victories are come when you didn't feel nothing and chose God anyway. I want to say that again. Your greatest victories will come. I'm going to say your greatest victories will come when you don't feel anything, but you choose His Word anyway.
Yeah. Come on.
Because He's not a liar. He's not a man that he should lie, or the son of man that he should repent. His Word is true. So I ask you now, I've got a series of question marks here. What or whom are your idols? What or whom are your idols? Let's pray a minute. Pray with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking you to show me what my idols are, who they might be. I'm asking in Jesus' name. Now close your eyes. Lord, I bind all the distractions of any kind in the name of Jesus. Doesn't matter what's going on. Thank God for children. Amen? Thank God for these children that are here, these parents. Just close your eyes. God's big. He can speak through anything. Amen? And just say, if the Lord shows you. There's the idol of self-idolatry. It's placing ourselves, our opinions, our emotions and will in positions contrary to the Word of God. It's justifying our own sinful behavior because of circumstances brought on by others, our ancestry, or just because we felt like it. Refusing to allow the Holy Spirit to convict and change us even when we know right from wrong. Everybody say, Father,
Father,
forgive me,
forgive me
wherever I've ignored the Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit,
I'm asking you to forgive me too. I want to hear from you. The lust for idols, it's a matter of the heart. Colossians 3:5. You must put to death, then, the earthly desires at work in you, such as sexual immorality, indecency, lust, evil passions, and greed. Because of such things, God's anger will come upon those who do not obey Him. Here's a big one, but everyone else is doing it. It must be okay. I guess in our day and time and what we're seeing in our nation, well, it's legal now. We got marijuana facilities all over our state now. Medical marijuana. But they call things like the funky skunk or the better high. It ain't medical. Listen, I'm just going to say this. If it alters your mind in the way you think, it's a mind-altering substance and you're entering into a realm that you ought not enter into. And if you're somebody that's having to do something because of anxiety or fear and all that, and there's no condemnation, but it's not where you want to stay. Okay? It's not where you want to stay. So we don't even begin to tell somebody been on Xanax or whatever for a time, you need to quit tomorrow. We're not saying that.
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.